All right. Good evening, everyone, and thank you, ladies, for that special number. God will provide, and hope that's what you believe, and God does time and time again, and appreciate that song. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 7 tonight. Proverbs chapter 7, it's an honor again to stand behind this pulpit, and tonight may be the last night I speak on this topic as a church in a whole, but stay tuned. I may be teaching this in some way or another, the rest of the lesson. There's so much involved in the book of Proverbs and teaching on the simple one. And tonight I just want to preach this one, and we'll pause here, and then there'll be opportunities in the future, so stay tuned. And it's a very, very, very interesting subject for those who are teaching the simple ones and also for the simple ones themselves. And so tonight I want to talk about this, reaching the simple one, or how to capture their heart for right. How to capture the simple one's heart for right. As I spoke, and if you've been following these lessons, and we talked about the simple one. The Bible talks about a simple one who's usually in that stage where they're getting into complexities of life. They're getting into things that are more complex. And we could say that it would probably be mostly the teenage age or the adolescent age. And we know that that simple one stage sort of extends a little bit further for some. But for the most part, we're talking about the adolescent stage. And we mentioned how there was a simple one that the book of Proverbs talks about. And that that simple one has two destinations. One destination is to what? The good one is the land of wisdom. And the other side is what? The land of foolishness or folly. And if left to themselves, which way would the simple ones go? Here or here? They'll be going towards folly. They'll be going towards foolishness. And so there's guides that God's put in place, and the Bible talks about a prudent one or someone who is wise, or the prudent guide is one that helps the simple one reach the destination of wisdom. And then there are other characters as well. Talks about a scorner, one who makes fun of, who laughs and just mocks at things. And that scorner tends to bring that simple one towards the land of the foolish. And so tonight I want to talk about, how do we capture the heart of the simple one? Obviously, everyone here tonight wants that simple one to reach wisdom. I don't think anyone here wants them to go to foolishness. And so tonight I want to talk about that. How do we capture their heart for right? I want to read a verse and then we'll pray. The Bible says here in Proverbs 7, if you're there, Proverbs 7, I'm going to read the first seven verses. The Bible says this: "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." I want you to catch that phrase there, a young man void of understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to capture your word tonight, that we would understand, and then we would use what we've learned, Lord, to glorify you in our lives. I pray, Lord, for the simple ones, that they would listen. I pray, Lord, that they would hear. I pray, Lord, that they would catch every word of your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, as prudent guides, as parents, as pastors, as youth leaders, as life group teachers, as anyone having influence over simple ones, I pray that our desire is to bring the simple one to wisdom. And I pray, Lord, that we'd look at this this topic of capturing the hearts of the simple one. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill this place. I pray, Lord, that you would speak for me, Lord. I'm nothing without you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would just be with us in the next few moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you to mention, to take note of that last phrase there in that passage of Scripture. It says, I discern among the youth a young man void of understanding. Now, this chapter addresses a moral fall of a simple one. The chapter begins with a young man who is void of understanding. What does that mean exactly? What does being void of understanding mean? Well, it means this. It means untaught. Someone who is untaught. Someone who's void of understanding is one that is who is untrained. They haven't been trained yet. Someone who's void of understanding is one who has no heart for right. Who has no heart for right. Or one who is void of understanding is one who has no passion for right. They simply don't have any zeal to do right. They don't want to do right, okay? He does not have an appetite to do right. He does not have a delight or the desire to do anything that has to do with doing right. But on the other hand, void of understanding does not necessarily mean that they have a heart to do wrong either, okay? Remember in my first lesson, I talked about how the simple one is a blank page. He who writes first draws the whole picture. And it's very, very important that we get them at this stage, that we start guiding them to the right place. But where do we begin? Because here the Bible says that they don't have any passion or any desire to do right in the first place. But the good thing is they don't have the desire to do wrong either. And they will, if left to themselves though, however, guess where they're going to go? They're going to go towards the bad thing, okay, which is foolishness, which is folly, okay? So there is a chance, there's a hope for simple ones, even though they don't have that desire to do right. Proverbs chapter 7, if you look at verse 2, I hope you're there, verse 2, it says this, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. The apple of thine eye. You know, the eye is the most sensitive spot in the entire body. We've got some tough guys in this room, okay? I looked at James straight away because he's the biggest guy in the room. We've had some big guys here in this room, haven't we? I'm looking at a picture of Dempsey. Man, he's 6'6" and he's just solid muscle, right? We've got some pretty big guys. We got Nate. You just want to fight recently. We got guys who we got Sharda and he can wrestle you to the ground and put you in submission, right? We got others as well, and we got Michael because he just wants me to mention him. But we got some pretty tough guys. But you can hit him and punch him and wrestle them and do whatever to them. But man, what happens when you just poke their eye? They go down crying like a little girl, amen? And it's a very sensitive place. It's the most sensitive spot in the whole body, okay? I think of yesterday, we went out to the park. I went out to the park with my kids and just throwing the ball around. I got Reese somewhere where it hurts. But it hurt. But nothing hurts more than the eye. I don't know what you guys are assuming, but you may be right. But I will neither confirm or deny where I hit him. But the eye is a very, very, very sensitive place. So here the Bible says, in this reference, it means that the most sensitive appetite in your life should be for the law of God. This should be the most sensitive appetite in your life. He said that you should have the most delicate, the most sensitive, and the most guarded part of your life, and that part is an appetite for God's word. But why don't the simple have an appetite for doing right? Why don't they? But they don't. But how do we capture their heart to do right? How do we capture their heart? Because that's one of the first steps. If they don't want to do it, then how do we get them to do it? We can lead a horse to water, but what? You can't drown him. No, we can't make him drink, right? And so we want to try to help them get an appetite and for the laws of God, for God's word, and for doing right. Turn with me in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I want to share a few things tonight. It's not morning anymore. But I want to share a few things tonight. Some ideas of how we can get the simple one to have an appetite to do right. Proverbs 1:5 says this. A wise man will what? Hear. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So how does a man of understanding learn more? How do they obtain wisdom? Well, it's simple. He hears. He listens. Which brings me to my first point. How do we get our children, our teenagers, our simple one to get a heart for doing right? First of all, make them listen. Make them listen. Folks, it's one thing to get your children here in church on property, but it's another thing to get them to listen. To get them to listen to God's word right here. When the man of God is preaching right here, the simple ones ought to be listening. Because that's how are they to get wisdom if they're not listening to the man who has the wisdom in here in the pulpit? If they're not listening, how are they supposed to get it? Parents, do we know where our kids are during church? Do we know if they're where they're supposed to be, and are they listening? Sometimes we don't know, right? And simple ones, by the way, if you're not here, then you're not listening to God's word. If you're out there using the bathroom 10 times a service, you're not listening to God's word. Do you understand? Am I meddling now? I'm meddling. Listen, hey, by the way, if you need to use the bathroom, go use it before the service. Does that sound reasonable? I'm really meddling now. Oh, we got some uncomfortable. And now it's very, very important. If we're to get our young people to have a desire for right, a desire for wisdom, they've got to hear. And if they're not here, then they will not hear, and they won't hear the word of God. And they won't listen to the wisdom that the preacher has and has prepared hours and hours and hours, like a person prepares for a meal. And when they go to serve it, they're not there to eat it. Husbands, you know, your wife's serving you up something, and she's usually serving you up something good. Now, I try my best to be there to eat the food. Why? Because my wife has slaved. She's in the kitchen and she's cooking that food for me, and she knows. She knows what I like. She also knows what I don't like, but she knows what I like, and she slaved over this and cooked it and prepared for it, and sometimes for hours and yay, even days, especially when you're cooking sourdough, right? Days. Do you hear about that mummy they use? Anyway, the yeast in that? Never mind. But man, they've struggled. They've worked on it. And then what happens when there's no one there at the table to eat it? Pretty rude, isn't it? You know, your preacher, and we watch him hour after hour studying God's word. You know, I see this man here, and I see this man here, and they're studying, and they're talking about God's word, and we're collaborating, and we're talking about God's word, this man also, and we're looking, and we're trying our best to get the best meal for our church and to see what you would like and what would make you to grow spiritually. But then when we're not here to listen to it, then are you here to partake of the wisdom that is in God's word? The first step, if we want to capture the simple one's heart and give them an appetite for wisdom, they've got to be here. Let's make them listen, okay? Now, we can't All right, Shad, are you listening? We can't put our kids in submission holds to make them listen, okay? We can't threaten them. That's not the way to do it. But there are ways that we can get our kids to listen. First of all, we could tell them, hey, I want you to listen, okay? I remember we used to have little notepads and things for them to write, okay? It was easy when I was pastoring that I knew what I was preaching on, and I would have questions for them to answer. I say, I want you to answer this by the end of the service, okay? And there are ways we could do that to help them to listen. And there are ways, and I remember at college, it wouldn't have been at college because we would have been expelled, but my wife would have been nudging me, right? Stay awake. You need to listen. If you're asleep, you're not listening. There are ways, man. In college, I used to stab myself with a pencil, okay? I used to do all sorts of things. And there are things that you can do to incentivize that your children would listen to the Word of God, okay? You can ask them quizzes. You can give them rewards. I don't care what it is, make them listen to the Word of God, okay? Were you all listening? All right, a couple. All right, so first, make them listen. All right, next point. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3. How do we get the simple person to have a heart for right? The Bible says here in verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Okay. What's this reference talking about? Well, Solomon's saying occasionally a simple person will ask mom and dad a question. Okay. They will cry out for knowledge. So what's the next thing we can do to help our simple ones get an appetite? Okay. Secondly, answer their questions. Answer their questions. You know, a foolish or a scorner parent says this, look, you know what, I don't know, ask your mother. Who's been guilty? Men? Okay, well, all right. I saw one hand, but then it went down pretty quickly. All right. A foolish parent says, you know what, ask somebody else. I don't know that question. Quit asking me that question. There's a song that kids listen to. I don't know. Stop asking me questions or something like that. That's a dumb song, okay? You know, when the simple one asks you a question, that is a golden moment, okay? When somebody says, hey, look, I have a question. Man, seize that moment. Sometimes I have a Q&A and there's just crickets, right? Nobody wants to know. They just want to get out, right? I'm not talking about my class on Tuesdays. You guys are all right. But there are times like that where your kids, they don't care. Or the people that you teach, they don't care. But man, when somebody asks a question, whoa, you want to learn? You want to know things? Seize that moment. You know what? Again and again, Jesus asked questions. He asked questions because questions is the greatest art of teaching. The greatest skill in the art of education is to be able to ask the right question. But even the greatest skill is to get the simple one to ask a question and get him to answer it also. You know, some of us, we say, well, that's a stupid question. Quit asking me stupid questions. There's no stupid question. When you say, well, that's a stupid question, you're saying, look, I don't want to answer that, okay? When you say that, you're squelching their appetite for knowledge. You're squelching their appetite for wisdom. When someone asks a question, it's simply someone who's saying, look, I'm hungry, feed me. I'm hungry, I have an appetite, feed me. And that simple one will be asking and going around to see who will feed him. Now, if the simple one doesn't get fed by the wise person or the prudent one, guess who that person's going to go to? They're going to go to their foolish friends. They're going to go to the scorners who make fun of this church and make fun of this book and make fun of that God, our God. And they're going to go to those people. And if we're too busy saying that's a stupid question, go ask your mom, go ask somebody else, I don't have the answer to that, then we're saying, you know what, I don't have what it takes to feed you. I don't want to feed you, but we ought to do the opposite of that. We need to seize that moment and say, you have a question. I may not have answers, but you know what? Let's go see someone who does. Let's go see someone. How can we get the answers, okay? We got to be careful that we guide our simple ones to the right answers because you know what? Now technology, oh, all right, ChatGPT. What's the answer to this? At home, we have ChatGJT. That's my initials, ChatGJT. All right. And but that's what we have. And we've got to be careful when our young ones are asking questions that, man, we seize that moment. There should never be a time where we say, you know, I don't want to answer. You know, I'm too tired. Okay? We want them to ask questions. This is how they learn. They're saying, Dad, feed me. Oh, the ball game's on. The Tigers is losing again. I don't know. Don't tell me what the score is tonight. I know the Tigers probably lost by a mile. But you know what? We ought not to be that way and say, you know what? I'll answer your question later once I see the Tigers lose by 68 points, okay? Just, I'm having a moment here, okay? No, that shouldn't be. It should be that, man, you got a question, I'm going to try to answer it. If I can't answer it, we're going to try to together to find that answer. Hey, how do we get the simple one to have a heart for right? First of all, make them listen, then answer their questions. I know it can be annoying sometimes, but man, answer their questions. Those of you who have 4, 5, and 6-year-olds in the question stage, Mom, how's, you know, what's the purpose of life and who is God and who is Socrates and what did he believe? And they've got all sorts of questions, but man, you know why this stage they're learning so quickly? It's because of that. They're asking questions. They're asking questions. And we need to welcome that as prudent guides. Don't let it be an annoyance to us. But man, let's answer their questions, okay? We don't want them going to the wrong people for the wrong answers. All right, next point. Proverbs chapter 4. Go a few chapters here. Proverbs chapter 4. I'll read 4 verses here. The first 4 verses, the Bible says here, hear ye children, the instruction of a what? Father. And attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Now, the first 2 words in verse 4 are he taught. He taught. Okay, so according to that verse, it was a male that taught. How do you get the simple person to have a heart for right? The father must be involved in the instruction process. Are you listening to me, fathers? Listen up. Fathers, you have to be involved in instructing your children. You have to be the one to be a prudent guide in your family. Check this out. Go to Malachi chapter 4. It's the last chapter. Malachi chapter 4. Just hold your fingers in the book of Proverbs, but have a look at Malachi. Something interesting. Malachi chapter 4. And verse 5 and 6, the Bible says here, behold, I will send you, just to get some context, he's talking about the destruction during the tribulation time. Okay, towards the end, what's going to happen towards the end? Verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And watch this, verse 6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. You know what? This is talking about the tribulation period. What's going to be like at the end of days here on earth? You know, we're too worried about the microchips in our hands, right? We're putting our tinfoil hats on and we're worried about, we're building bunkers. And if you're building a bunker, don't tell me, okay? I'll know where to go if things happen. And we're stocking up weapons. We're stocking up food to get through the tribulation. I won't be here. But we're doing all these things and we're worried about what country's going to nuke which country when the thing that's going to make the end of times happen is when the fathers turn away from the children.
And we're worried about how much food we're going to have left over. But you know what we ought to be worried about is whether our kids, if we've captured their hearts for doing right. That's what we ought to be worried about. That's what we ought to worry. We want to stop it from, well, we're not going to stop it from happening, but man, we want to have a longer life here on earth and keep it from happening. But you know what? Let's keep our children's heart. Let's capture their hearts for doing right. And that's what's going to keep us from this dreadful day. Okay. It's not these crazy things that we think about. Okay. I just found that interesting, okay? I wanted to share that. You know, we have a society where mom does all the answering and gives all the instruction, don't we? The mom does a lot. And I'm not criticizing ladies. It's a natural thing. Another interesting thing, do you remember in the Garden of Eden? Before sin actually happened, who was talking to the devil? Who? Well, it was Eve, wasn't it? The lady. You know what I believe? That the lady is the natural spokesman of the family. Have you noticed that ladies can be very opinionated? I'm not criticizing ladies, but have you noticed that? Have you noticed that they have a natural inclination to leading their children and to leading their family? Have you noticed that? Okay. I remember Isla, she was crying last night. She's like, Mommy, Daddy, Mommy, Daddy, Mommy, Daddy. So I go over there and she goes, no, Mommy, 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 Mommy. She knows what's up. She knows how to get things, okay? But you know, in our society, going back to that illustration, okay, they sinned. And then what happened? God says, you know what, we're going to reverse the role a little bit, okay, Eve. You're going to be subject to your husband. Your desire is going to be to your husband. You know, the guy's not the natural spokesman in the family. Have you noticed that? Most guys are nonchalant, right? Just chill. We're okay. How you doing? Oh, yeah, she'll be right, mate. I'll be right. Oh, yeah, I got a footy game on tonight. Yeah. Aren't we? Guys, don't leave me on an island, okay? I'm not the only one like this, okay? You guys know. We are naturally nonchalant. We're relaxed. We don't care about much, do we? We're pretty apathetic. But then God says, you know what? I'm going to make the men. They're going to lead the home, okay? They're going to be the ones who will be the prudent guys. And women, you are to be one too. But man, I want men. You ought to lead the family. Proverbs chapter 4 says that the dad taught me. Dad was actively proactive. He was physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually involved in teaching the child. How do you get a person to have a right heart for right? Dad has to be in the position of the prudent one. Dad, you have to be involved. You can't let your wife or the lady do everything. Guys, you've got to be involved. You know, you watch these families where they got sharp kids. The kids, they don't bad mouth or back talk people. Usually the man is involved in that family. The man is involved in instructing the children. The man is very proactive. Now, if I know there comes a time where sometimes the dad leaves for whatever reason and the mom has to leave the home. Hey, do this. Lead your children or direct your children to other men that are in the church. Say, hey, you know what? That'll be a good question for pastor. You know, that'd be a good question for Pastor Phil, for your youth leader. Ask Brock. He'd be a good man. He's the real estate rock. If you want to go buy a house, go ask him. Hey, why don't you ask the deacons? You got a Sparky question? Go to Joshua. No, Joshua's a plumber. Never mind. Don't go to him. You might electrocute yourself. But direct your people. If you're a single mom, direct your young people to other men of God, your coach, your their teachers, whoever they may be, lead them to them, okay? Why? But concerning moms and dads who are together right now, your dad needs to take, dads, you need to take an active, a deliberate, and a personal role in teaching your children, okay? Why does dad need to get involved in the instruction? Well, dad is to the home what God is to the body of Christ. Dad, you're the God image in your home. And to whatever degree dad does not get involved, that child is learning that God and his word and his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes are really not that important. We're the figure and the image of God, and what we do, our children watch. And as we lead, let's try to do our best to portray the right relationship as God is to the church. Don't send them off with other boys on the trip, okay? And say, hey, here, you take care of it. Dad, why don't you go take him on that trip, okay? Don't leave them all on their own, okay? Dad, you sit with them in Sunday morning. You sit with them in Sunday night service. You sit with them on Wednesday night. Let them sit. Show them how to open your Bible, okay? Don't be playing video games while you're telling your kid, hey, go open up your Bible. Hey, are you listening? I'm crushing candy here, okay? You be the example, dads. You be the example of what a prudent one should be. All right, so how do we get the simple person to have a heart for right? First of all, make them listen. Secondly, answer their questions. Thirdly, dads, get involved in the instruction process. Number four, let's look at Proverbs chapter 7, verse 4 and 5. Our time's quickly expiring. All right. The Bible says here, Proverbs 7, 4 and 5, it says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. How do you get the simple person to have a right for right? How do you get the simple person to have a heart for right? Guard carefully whom they date. I'm really meddling now, aren't I? Guard carefully whom they date. Do we know if our kids are dating? Do we know who our kids hang around with in school? Do we know who they have interest in? Do you know, are they flirting with somebody? Is somebody flirting with them? Okay, do we know those things? We need to be careful of whom your children date. Some of the best scorners in the world are their peers. Make sure they're not led astray by a scorner. You know, as a teenager grows and matures during adolescence, his heart just opens up and he becomes available. One of the biggest mistakes that we can make is to let the simple one just go and do their own thing. Okay, instead of going to Impact Youth, or instead of reading his Bible, or instead of going to church, or instead of going to a youth camp, okay, we let him start dating and start getting affectionate with the opposite gender. Okay, we start getting them to date prematurely. That heart develops a warped, twisted love that is only associated with gender affection, puppy love. He'll leave God on the back burner of his life. It's very hard to see someone who spent all their teenage years just dating and just Google-eyeing the opposite gender, and that's all they think about, get their heart right back to God in their 20s. It's very, very hard to find that. It's so rare to find that. You let somebody get a heart for God as a teenager, and as a teenager, hey, tell them, hey, you need to get your focus off of the opposite gender, and you need to get that focus off this dating thing, and get your focus on the Word of God. Get your focus on praying to God. Get your focus on doing what's right for God. I'm not against dating. Hey, let them date once every 5 years. You know, I'm not against it, okay? But man, hey, get them focused on the right things. And as they're focused on the right things, and they're focused on God, and they're focused on what needs to be the right thing, then guess what? As they get older, that relationship between he and his wife will be the right kind of relationship, okay? Moms, don't worry about your boy if a girl looks at him. That's fine, okay? Sometimes we poke at our kids and they get annoyed, right? Okay, it's fine. But just be careful and guard whom your simple ones date, because they have a great influence on your simple one. Careful. They've got a huge influence, by the way. And so make sure you know. Are they on the phone at night calling so-and-so? Okay. Make sure they know. Okay. Guard that. Okay. So how do we get them to have a heart for right? Make them listen. Answer their questions. Dad, get involved. Guard carefully whom they date. Next, Solomon says in Proverbs 20, verse 5. Come on, we're almost there. We got 1 minute. I got two more points. There's no time limits, are there, Pastor? All right, good. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Proverbs 8, if you go back, verse 14, it says this. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. How do we get them to have a heart for right? Encourage your simple one to get good advice. Is this working? Encourage your simple one to get good advice. I love it when parents send their kids to me and they ask me a question, hey, what should I do this? Usually I'm blown. I'm like, you talking to me? That's how it should be, right? Don't you like it, Pastor, when mom and dad, they say, look, you know what? That'd be a great question for Pastor. Seek his heart. See what he thinks about it. You know what? That's a good question for Pastor Phil. What do you think he thinks about it? I want you to encourage your simple one to get good advice. Now, by the way, if you've got people who are life group teachers, your youth leaders, your pastors, your assistant pastors, your teachers, hey, and you're a parent, you've got simple ones, don't demonize them. In front of your kids, don't say, look, he doesn't know what he's talking about because he lived in a cave or whatever. Whatever your reason may be, don't demonize the one who can help your child and give you your child good advice. We've got to be careful. You know what? Sometimes it takes a village to raise children. It takes good counselors. The Bible says there is safety in a multitude of counselors. If we want our child to succeed and go to someone for good advice, hey, don't demonize or don't put down the person that they could go for advice. You know, we're saying, that pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, if you've got questions, just ask me, son. Ask me. Oh, you know what? That youth leader, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay, ask me. But what if you don't have the answer and now you've got to turn to someone else? Then we've cut that line of where your child could be learning from a youth leader or a life group teacher or a pastor because we simply, in our insecurities, we want to be the hero and say, you know what, they don't know what they're talking about. We need to be championing those people. We need to be saying, you know what, he's a wise man. Go to our deacons, they're a great men of God, they know. Go to our businessmen, they'll know something about money. They'll go to our tradies, go to those who are teaching our kids, go to them. Man, I heard so-and-so is a good man, he's a good person to talk to. Come on now, it's quiet, man. It's all right, get good advice. Encourage them to get good advice. And lastly, everyone, breathe in, all right, and breathe out. Not at the same time. Don't breathe in and breathe out at the same time. Do one of them first. All right, Proverbs chapter 9. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6, it says here, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Here's my last point. Give them a good crowd with which to run. Give your simple ones a good crowd for which to run. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know, it is true. You'll become what your crowd to whom you associate with, okay? But it goes even further with that, okay? You know, the reason that the simple one sometimes hangs around the wrong crowd is because that crowd is in his heart. That crowd is the one who accepts him for who he is. That crowd is the one who allows him to do certain things, right? Oh, yeah, go do that. That'd be funny. Oh, yeah. That'll be a great prank. That'll be a great idea. And they accept him for who they are. And sometimes we think, why is my kid hanging around the wrong crowd? Okay. You know, they'll just hang around those who are like them. Okay. You've heard the term birds of a feather flock together. Okay. They'll just naturally go towards those that are like them. And it's very, very important where your kids, as they grow up and they go to college or university, it's very important where they go, okay? Because they'll choose their friends from that place. And so we've got to make sure that we put them in a place where they can have a good crowd, okay? Now, you might say, well, all the kids are a bad crowd. And I don't trust all the kids. I don't trust them either. I don't trust me. Sometimes we get with the wrong person, okay? You get me and Andrew together, man. We're bad to the bone, amen. And say, brother Andrew, bad to the bone. Never mind. Owens, what goes on in the office stays in the office, okay? But have you ever thought about this? You say, you know what? I don't trust my kids going off on their own. Well, I don't trust them going off on their own too. Because like I said, the simple one, where would they go to when left on their own? They'll go to foolishness straight away. I was a teenager once. Do you believe it? I was a teenager once. I know. I was a teenager once. And I know the mischief and the things that I got to when I was left on my own. Hey, have we thought about this? How about we, parents, listen? I know this is uncool, okay? But how about we be that good crowd for our kids and perhaps another kid? You say, oh, that kid, he's a bad crowd. Let's write him off. Don't hang around that person. Hey, maybe that person is just another simple misguided person, and they need someone like you to guide them in the right path. How about taking your son and his friend out fishing? And you be the prudent guide that helps them to go towards wisdom. And I hate this term. I don't like this term teenagers. And it was coined back in the 1950s. But you know what? I like what the Bible uses the term here, young men, okay? Young adults, young people. In the adolescent age, these are people who are molding to become adults, and they're not going to do that when all they're doing is just hanging around their own age group, okay? They need a prudent guide. Say, oh, I don't know what happened to little Johnny. You know, he always hangs around, and we got someone to blame, right? The guy across the street, right? That was for me. I blamed the guy across the street. That's why I was not a good kid. No. But we need somebody to blame, right? Well, that friend of his, you know, he shouldn't have been. I told him he shouldn't have been hanging around him. What did we do about it, though? If left to their own, they'll go straight to foolishness. And there are many simple that are void of understanding that are waiting for a prudent person to take them under their wing and say, look, hey, let's do right. This is the way. This is how we do it. No, we shouldn't be saying those words. No, we shouldn't be cursing. No, we shouldn't be speaking those dirty jokes. We shouldn't be doing that. And you be the guide for your children. You know, back in the day, teenagers used to hang around adults, and they would learn from them. I remember as a teenager, I would learn. We spent a lot of time with our pastor and his brothers and lots of adults, and I loved it. I enjoyed it. And when I was unsaved and got up to no good with my friends, it was just one disaster after another. But when I got around some good godly men, that's when I felt like I was actually growing in the Lord. Young people, look, the answers, and have friends, okay? But the answer is not your buddy, okay? He's just as dumb as you are, okay? I'm kidding. I say that in love because I was that way. Now, still sometimes. But get around some wise men. Get around some wise men and learn from them. Get good counsel. Ask questions. Be around them and get a heart for right, okay? How do we get the simple person to have a heart for right? First of all, make them listen. Answer their questions. I know, they're annoying. Answer their questions. Dad, get involved. Get involved in your family. Get involved in instructing your kids. Guard carefully whom they date. Encourage your simple one to get good advice and get them a good crowd with which to run. And let's hope we can capture their hearts to want to do right. We want them to have that heart to want to do right, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. You're so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the principles and the lessons, Lord, that you have in the book of Proverbs and throughout your book. Lord, we have good young people that I think of. I don't think they want foolishness. I don't think they want to end up with their lives unsuccessfully. I believe many of our young people want to do right. But Lord, some of them are just a little misguided. And a lot of times it's not their fault. They just don't have someone to guide them. I pray, Lord, that as parents and as leaders, teachers, and preachers, and those who have any influence in our young people, Lord, I pray that we just have that desire to teach and to train, to answer their questions, to get involved in their lives, because that's going to be the hope of our country. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to instill these truths in our hearts tonight, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.